Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Our series on motivation in challenging times continues today with a discussion on dealing with different people, personality types, and learning styles. Joining us are special guest Matt Booth.
It's great to be here. I am a professional attitude speaker and coach, and a big portion of my clients are in the ag industry.
Birchwood Production Manager Jamie Hundley.
I'm Production General Manager at Birchwood Genetics, been with the company for 28 years. I oversee 3 boar studs for PIC, 1 in West Manchester, Ohio, 1 in Adrian, Michigan, and 1 in Scottsville, Kentucky. Combined, we have about 2,100 boars.
And PIC's Supply Chain Manager, Jason Pooley.
I'm the Regional Supply Chain Manager for PIC in the East and Canada. So I interact with a lot of our multiplier partners and farms all over the Eastern Seaboard in Canada.
This isn't as true today as it was 5-10 years ago. Boomers in general were in the upper management ownership range of the industry. And for a long time, the comment was, well, I just don't understand. Just as Matt was saying, I don't get where they're coming from. But we've learned to dig deep. And some of us haven't had the opportunity to have someone come in and show us that. And so if they're still dealing with that, well, I just don't understand this next generation or the generation after that. How do you help them begin to open their eyes and their ears to that? What are some suggestions you would have for that group?
Over the years, I've noticed as it was not uncommon for us to visit colleges and universities and go to career days to try to identify people to bring into our business. Oftentimes those people were coming in as, production or manager trainees. They're being hired on their potential. They've maybe not got a lot of experience, but they've been, through some schooling and have earned a degree. And so it's really about their potential. And it's been interesting to watch the difference in the kids coming out of college in the last few years compared to, say, 10 or 15 years ago. They have different motivators. They have different thoughts about what they want in a career. And so, again, as companies, we need to be able to provide that to be appealing to these candidates as they're coming out. They tend to enjoy travel a little more. They tend to enjoy their vacation and their personal time. They're not as enticed by getting in and grinding out a bunch of hours in the week. There's different motivators there for them. They like to work for sustainable companies. Those are the things that are important. So we have to adapt and not only be appealing to them, but create businesses that are appealing to those candidates as they're coming out.
Jamie, how successful are you doing that at Birchwood?
It is something we have to focus on, especially with younger employees that we're hiring, is looking at the motivators for them, because in many cases it is quite different. In one case, we had an employee that was extremely, extremely capable, but just seemed to get burnt out, like to jump from one thing to another. And finally, in discussing with him, he just really felt like working 3 days a week would be better for him, because he had a lot of interests he wanted to do outside of work, and 40 hours a week was more than was working for him. And, we, with the boar stud industry, have 3 big days a week and a couple lighter days a week, and we're able to move that schedule to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. And he's just been a star employee since being on that schedule. He's got 2 days off that works for him. Now, you do need to make sure that you blend that and are able to fill your needs as a company, but being flexible and finding what motivates an employee can really help with not just the employee performance, but also retention of those employees.
When you talk about different generations, this is, in my opinion, this has been going on forever, since the beginning of time. what we seem to struggle with is. Are people more different than these? Maybe all of us, but this has been going on since the beginning of time. So I want everybody to think about your first date. You know, maybe you were a sophomore in high school and you went to the first big dance. Okay, and that was your first date. Now, is dating today different than it was when you were on your first date?
I was dating today, it would be dangerous. I mean, I might not survive if I were found to be dating today.
You know, most people have that same feeling. They're like, oh no, we didn't have a phone. We didn't get to, you know, they didn't have big parties and like we didn't get to stay at a hotel and no limo came to pick me up. You see what we're doing specifically when parents think about their kids and how dating was different when they were a kid. As soon as you say, oh, you know, I would probably have never made it through dating. If you're talking to anyone from a different generation than you, the first thing they think about when you say that to your kid, oh, it's not even the same. First thing they think about is my old man has no idea what the crap I'm going through, and I'm not going to talk to him about this anymore because he has no clue. My mom has no clue. She just told me we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have none of this stuff. I couldn't borrow my uncle's Corvette to go to prom. None of this stuff. As soon as we say that to our kids, the kids think dad, mom has no clue. And we seem to do this in business and on farms over and over again. We say, well, when I was starting a family and got a job, I was just happy to have a job and just to work 40 hours a week. I was just happy. If I only had to work 40, well, that was less than my normal 80. I was just happy with that. Now, you tell that to a guy who only wants to work 3 days a week, that guy says, you know what? My boss has no freaking clue what I'm going through. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. And when you think about the dating setting, when I went on my first date 30-some years ago, and when my son goes on a date, his first date in a couple years, it's like the same thing we're going through. Because when I came out of my date, I was wondering if I was going to have zits on my face, and everybody was going to laugh. I was wondering, because I'm not a real tall guy, if my date was going to put on high heels, if she was going to be taller than me. Then I was wondering, okay, I'm wondering, when we go to the prom, am I going to trip over the cord? How's the pictures going to look? What about after prom? Is there going to be drinking? Is there going to be drugs? Am I supposed to kiss this girl? What do I do if we're alone? What do I do with my hands? Like, I don't know what to do. Okay, these were all the things going through my head 30-some years ago. And I'll tell you, it's going to be the exact same thing for my son when he goes on his first date in 4 or 5 years. He's thinking all the same things. But we like to throw that out and say, well, it can't be the same because I didn't have a cell phone back then. But it's the same. So it's that empathy piece, trying to get into someone else's shoes or trying to figure out someone else's boat, as we say.
I would agree with that. I think they do go through those same feelings and thoughts, but at the same time, they are in a different environment with social media and cell phones. And as a father of two daughters and a son that's 15, you know, we've had a lot of conversations around those two topics because things are much more public today. Things are out there. You know, some of the dumb things that we may have done at parties and dates when we were in high school weren't, you know, they were kind of stories, or, you know, they're word of mouth things. Whereas today there's pictures and videos and everything else. And so I think that puts a little bit of a twist on it, but you're absolutely right. They go through those same concerns in terms of those worries of going on those first dates and how it's going to be received and how well they're going to be received.
What are some of the tips you might have on getting employees to talk to you? You know, is that something where you need to be on the golf course or you need to find a place where they're comfortable or have them in your... I mean, what works well when that person who is reluctant to talk with you as you're trying to understand his motivation and what's driving him, how do you generate that? Jamie, have you had any luck with that?
It definitely varies by personality and by person. So you've got to be open as a manager to maybe different communication styles. Some people will communicate what they're feeling in any environment and are comfortable doing that even in team meetings. And you're going to know what they're feeling because they're just very open with their feelings and what they're thinking. Other people aren't going to say much in that environment and will need some one-on-one time. So you need to be willing to stop and listen, you know, ask questions and then listen and make time for employees individually. And, you know, as managers, we need to be careful. It's easy for us to get busy in our day-to-day and forget even the little things like saying hi to somebody coming in, finding out, taking the time to find out about their family or how their family's doing, what kind of hobbies they have. So I think if we take the time to pry in a little bit, get to know each individual a little bit better, and then kind of meet them with those things that they're comfortable talking about, then they're going to be a lot more comfortable communicating with us if they have a question or concern at work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll tell you, some of the best conversations I've had with employees are just sitting around the break table after lunch and getting caught up on their families and their activities and things like that. And I think that gives you an opportunity to connect to them on a different level. They see you less as a supervisor or as a boss or a manager, and they see you more as a coworker. And I think that provides an opportunity to have those more fluid conversations, more open conversations, and connect to them on a deeper level.
Jason and Jamie are exactly spot on. They get it. They understand. And I'm going to challenge you guys in this group to use something that helps connect people on a greater level. And when I talk about that, this is one of the least used forms of communication and ways to connect in our country. I don't care what industry you're in. Okay, if you can, in your mind right now, I want you to list the three primary learning styles. So just think about them. What are the three primary learning styles? We learn all different ways, but there's three primary ones. And you guys, I know you guys have them because you're super smart, and some people listening have this as well. Here are the three primary learning styles. They're visual, auditory, and kinesthetic.
Yep.
So you have people who learn best by seeing, people who learn best by hearing, and people who learn best by doing, feeling. And you guys are shaking your heads. You're like, yeah, we get this. Rarely do people, when they go into a conversation with someone, or if you go on a meeting, or if you're hiring someone, or you walk out into a barn with someone, rarely do we think in our head, okay, what is this person's favorite learning style? Because out of those three primary, most people have a preferred style. There's one of those three that they really like. Now, if you're talking about a person who's out in a barn, walking around all day doing things, they're probably kinesthetic. If I want to connect with them on a high level and engage with them, I want to do something with them because that's how they learn best. So show me around the barn. What are you doing? Let's take a walk. Let's figure this out. Also, if you know somebody is auditory and they learn best by hearing and talking, that's exactly when you want to sit down with them and you want to open a beer, have a cup of coffee, sit down, let them talk to you. You talk to them because that's how they learn best. And if you know somebody prefers visual, that's where you get out a video and you show them a video, or you get your pen and a piece of paper and you start drawing some squares and some circles and some triangles, and you connect with them on a high level based on their preferred style. Where most leaders, what I found, is they go after people and they try to connect with people based on their preferred style, not the person they're trying to connect to. So this is really underused. And you can learn more about it. You can call me. We can talk about it more. But those are the three primary learning styles. Most people have a preferred style. You should know what your preferred style is because that's how you learn best. And that will be your default style when you connect with, you engage, when you communicate with people. And you should also learn what the preferred style is of the people around you, whether it's your family, friends, or the people that you work for or work with or that work for you.
Yeah, and if I can just expand on that a little bit, because I think those are all really important points, but I know for me, one of the bigger aha moments was when I went through some DISC training. You know, going into it, I was pretty confident that I knew that I was a D. I knew that I was a strong D. Doing that training helped me identify for sure what it was and how I conduct myself. When I went through it a second time, though, I focused more on learning about the other styles, the I's, the S's, and the C's. And I think the biggest takeaway for me with that was how do I interact with those different personality styles? So it's to your point of, you know, making sure that you identify what people's learning styles are as well as their personality styles, because I know as a D, I can come off pretty strongly to some people. And so I may need to texture my conversation or my communication to fit their style better in order to be more effective. And that was a real big opportunity for me to understand. And we run into a lot of real strong personalities out on farms a lot of times, a lot of driven, high production people that are focused on numbers and output. Some people just don't respond well to that kind of drive, and you have to know what makes them tick in order to help them learn, achieve, and grow.
I am curious, if you're willing to share, what are some of your motivational fails? Something that you tried that, you know, don't do that. This is what happened to me.
That's a tough question. I mean, I can think of times where, you know, within my job or my career, I've been frustrated with things. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is to sit back and say, is this frustration because of something that's being done to me, or is it because of something that I'm doing? The earlier point is that sometimes people don't do well because they are frustrated. Being able to ascertain the root of the issue is important to try to get some resolvement around that. And so I guess my best advice would be to be highly communicative around those things. Oftentimes I felt intimidated around speaking to my supervisor about things that I'm not happy with or not frustrated with. And I think it's getting over that hump of being able to say, I've got something that I want to share with you, some feelings or thoughts, and hopefully I'm not going to get judged by that. And you can have that conversation and maybe repair or at least get it out in the open of what's going on to try to move forward.
I think for me, you know, I think there's a couple places I can think back. You know, I think one area for sure is missed opportunities to give positive feedback. You know, I think when people or a team has performed at a really high level, making sure that we celebrate that and give positive feedback. I think there's times where we get so focused on the minute details, sometimes trying to be a perfectionist, that we constantly are pointing out little things maybe where we miss our target on and just fail to take the time and the opportunity to celebrate the wins and to give positive feedback when people have done extremely well. You know, I think another area to be cautious about is responding while you're in anger or really quick to something. You know, sometimes, and maybe the way we respond, sometimes we got to think about written communication. Sometimes our written communication doesn't come across to somebody as we meant it, and it will be taken much different. So we need to be cautious in the way we do written communication and taking the time in many cases to pick up the phone or meet with a person face-to-face to discuss things, especially some important things, rather than just start out with an email or some short written communication. And then one other area is timely communication. You know, I can think of times when I'm really, really busy where maybe slow on communicating something that the staff really, you know, needed to know before it was communicated to them. You know, a lot of these opportunities come down to communication, and it is just so important that we're taking the time to communicate with all of our staff.
You guys are awesome. And these guys are exactly right. And when it comes to motivational fails, as I've mentioned, this is my philosophy. It's okay to have a bad day and do things wrong. People do things wrong all the time. if we're afraid of failing, you can't hardly move forward. You know, I fail continuously with my business, with my family, with my friends. It happens all the time. If we could redo this podcast, there's things I've already said that I wish I could take back, but we're not. This is just how life goes. And if you can create that atmosphere, that culture, where you can say something to your boss and say, hey, I think we should do it this way. And he's like, oh, maybe that will work. I mean, this is how our whole country was founded. It's by people that didn't really like each other. As a matter of fact, a lot of them hated each other. But when one person stood up and said something, and like, you completely hate this person, but it was founded by the other person said, hey, you know, that SOB has a point. I just learned something. Like, when we can say that, that's when we're at our best as a country, and we're at our best as a company and as a family. So it's okay to fail. And that's the only way that you move forward, is to fail. But knowing and connecting with people, and when they know they care about you, even if you screw things up, when they know you have the best intentions, and when we know that about other people, that's when it works really well.
Joining us for this motivation series on The Squeal is Matt Booth, along with PIC's Jamie Hunley and Jason Pooley. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.